Good morning. So good to see each and every one of you. Doing well? Yeah? All right, good. So good to be with you. Man, missed being with you last week. We're going to jump into part three of this series, Making Change, in just a moment. But I want to share with you just a little bit of the experiences that I got to have this past week that were pretty huge for me. And ultimately, the reason why I'm telling you this is just to show you how good God is. Don't you believe that God is good? And isn't it good to see when he's good, like to notice it and be like, wow, that is totally God's doing and what he's working in and through his life. I want to put a picture on the screen of two people. It's Derek and Alyssa Thomas. Derek Thomas is the lead pastor of Life Church, where I pastor before coming here. And Derek and Alyssa were crazy enough to load up with our family several years ago and move to Washington State and help us start Life Church. This past week, February the 13th, was a very big day because February the 13th of this past year marked the one-year anniversary of Derek's dad having taken his own life. And all of that happened in the midst of our moving here. And Derek was becoming the lead pastor. He lost his dad, and it's just been an incredible hard year in Derek's life, to say the least. And so leading up to February the 13th of this year, I had it programmed in my phone to remind me every day for about 5 or 6 days to text Derek and just tell him I'm praying for him. And every day I just say, praying for you today, praying for you today, praying for you today. Well, on Monday, February the 13th, I texted him and I said, man, I'm praying for you today. And I worded a prayer by way of text. And I set my phone down and went to have a conversation with somebody and came back and I saw a missed call from Derek. Derek doesn't make many phone calls. He's kind of a quiet guy, and so when Derek calls you, it's a really big deal. And so anyway, he called, and I was kind of concerned. Wow, it's a year from the date that this tragedy happened in his life, and I missed the call. So I immediately picked up the phone and called Derek, and we had a conversation that looked kind of like this. He said, "Hi, Kyle, how's your Monday?" And I said, "My Monday's good." I said, "How is yours?" And Derek said, "My day's really good, actually. It's really good for me to hear that." And we began to talk about all that had happened in the last year, from the death of his dad to our moving to the transition that happened in the church there and the transition that always happens within the church there because it's a military community. And so a lot of people moving out, a lot of people moving in. And him ultimately telling me that he's ultimately doing well and the church is doing well. And it just brought joy to my heart. And then he said, "Well, actually, the reason why I'm calling you today is to give you some big news." I was like, wow, okay. Now remember, this is February the 13th, 1 year to the date of this tragedy happening in Derek's life. And Derek calls me to tell me that he's driving out of the parking lot of the Girl Scouts regional headquarters. Now all this is not going to be such a big deal to you as it is to me, and I got to tell you, it's massive, but hopefully you can grasp this. In the city where we lived and planted the church, DuPont, it's a bedroom community, so you kind of have houses and you have schools, and that's really about it. There's not any Walmarts there or stores or the like. It's just kind of a bedroom community with a lot of people that just kind of want to live in Pleasantville, USA, if you will. And so the door that opened for us several years ago to worship Jesus publicly was in the school. And we landed on a Sunday evening in the schools. And so Life Church has been worshiping on Sunday evenings for quite a while now, quite a few years now. Another church actually meets in the school in the morning time, and it's great. And anyway, he said, "Man, I'm driving out of the Girl Scouts regional headquarters, and we've just gotten the official green light that our church is going to be able to meet and worship here at the Girl Scouts regional headquarters. Beautiful building, great facility, going to be tremendous as far as space for the church, but also it means that they're going to get to make the move that they've wanted to make for so long, from Sunday night to Sunday morning." God did that 1 year to the day of this tragedy. Is God good or is God good? He's incredibly good. And then I'm just sitting there on the phone, I'm getting overwhelmed with emotion, and he said, and the really cool thing is you're going to be here this Sunday when we get to announce it. And so I got to be with Life Church Sunday night and celebrate with them what God was doing in their midst, and just absolutely incredible. So can you just celebrate that God is good? Can you join me in praying for Derek and Life Church that God would just continue to bless? Would you be willing to do that? That would just bring my heart such joy. Can we do that, church? Thank you. Let's get into part three of Making Change this morning. There's so many more things I could tell you from this last week that we got to experience that are really incredible. I'm going to share one more of them in just a moment. But in this series, Making Change, what are we doing? We are seeking God and how He wants us to use our finances and our resources according to His plan for His glory. So God, what have you given me, and now what do you want me to do with it? What do you want me to do with it? If you were here for the first 2 weeks of our series, we began with less is more, and then Nick last week preached on stress is bad. Less is more, stress is bad. And if you were here for last week's message, you heard the message. If you were like me and the guys that were with me, we actually listened to the sermon driving down the road through the app because we weren't here last Sunday worshiping with you. And Nick brought a great message. And Nick brought forth a really cool idea, some different ideas about how to save a little bit and serve at the same time. And one of those ideas, I don't know if you caught it or not, one of those ideas was to, instead of your wife going to get her nails done for you, the husband actually do her nails for her. And so me and my guys that were on a trip, we decided we'd do a little bit of practice. And so anyway, there we are getting ready. Did any of you guys that went with me actually paint your nails of your wife when you got home? I haven't done that yet. I'm looking. Anyway, so fun ideas that we're going there. And then today we're going to talk about giving is good. So less is more, stress is bad, giving is good. Less is more, stress is bad, giving is good. Can you say it with me? Less is more, stress is bad, giving is good. And today we're going to talk about giving is good. Acts chapter 20, verse 35. Acts chapter 20 and verse 35. We're going to look at the last part of verse 35, beginning with the word you. And it says, you should remember the words of the Lord Jesus. Now let's pause for just a moment. If somebody tells you something that is a big deal, you should remember it. If your mom tells you something, you should remember it. If your wife tells you something, you should remember it. If your boss tells you something, you should remember it. But think about this for just a moment. You should remember the words of the Lord Jesus. Nobody tops Jesus. No one has greater words. No one has more authority. No one has more wisdom. No one has more insight than Jesus. And He implores me and He implores you to listen to Him and to remember Him. You should remember the words of the Lord Jesus. And here's what He said. It is more blessed to give than to receive. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Would you read that part of it with me? It is more blessed to give than to receive. Now, what it's not saying here, he's not saying it's not a blessing to receive. I don't know about you, but I've received blessings in my life before from others, and it definitely was good. I was blessed in doing so. But Jesus argues here, Jesus tells us here, that it's actually even more of a blessing to give than to receive. If you've ever prayed about something to give, to be a blessing to someone, and then you give it by faith, how does that make you feel? It makes you feel down deep inside of you, satisfied. There's just a joy that comes in giving and meeting someone else's need. It's just an extreme thing that happens in our life. Maybe the first time that some of you ever chose to give to God through the church in a tithe. It stretched you, and it took great faith, but when you did it, there was this deep satisfaction of knowing that you were obedient to God, and you were living by faith. Maybe you decided not to get something for yourself, and instead to give something to someone in need, and they were blown away by your generosity. How many of you know from experience that it's actually more blessed to give than to receive? Huh? If you've ever given to somebody, you've watched that all happen and the reaction happen, you understand what we're talking about. Well, let me give you an illustration of what it's like to be more blessed to give than to receive. And you're going to see the blessing in the receiving, and you're going to see the blessing in the giving. Last Sunday, I was in Washington, and you guys were here at church about 10 o'clock or so, and we're 2 hours behind there, and I get a text from my wife, this picture right here, you might reckon, oh, nope, go back, go to the other picture, where is it, there we go, it says, Dear Holland Chapel friends and family, this was in our bulletin last week, and it's a thank you letter from Mark, Tiffany, and Haven Pruitt. Now here's how this worked. Our church, blessed with such generosity that we've been able to, for quite some time, set up a scholarship fund for those that are seeking to adopt. Well, Mark was an intern here at Holland Chapel many years ago, and Tiffany actually grew up in this church. And Mark is now the student pastor at Sunbreak Church in Washington that helped Life Church get started. Well, our church helped Mark and Tiffany financially to go through this adoption process and adopt Haven. And so on Sunday morning, I get this text about 8 o'clock. I didn't know this was going to be in our bulletin last Sunday. Terry texted it to me, and it dawned on me, I'm going to be, Matt's going to be, and Michael are going to be at Sunbreak Church this morning. And next picture that you already got a sneak peek of, we got to meet that little girl named Haven. How cool is that? Isn't that amazing? Come on, church. We were part of that. We were a part of that. Who was happier that day? Those that received the gift or those that gave the gift? I don't know, but I was happy. We got to do that, church. That little girl's life is forever changed in the care and the love and the gospel that she's going to receive now. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that cool? Isn't that wonderful? That's the joy of giving and the joy of generosity. Check out another verse of scripture as we think about what giving is, that giving is good. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 11. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 11 says, yes, you will be enriched in every way so that you can always be generous. And when we take your gifts to those who need them, they will thank God. Imagine with me being generous and the result of that generosity being people. People we know, people we don't know, people we've met, people we've never met. The result of our generosity being those people thanking God. Isn't it amazing how all of this beautiful thing of following Jesus, of faith and giving and going and sharing and doing, it all comes back to the same thing, bringing glory to God. So when I'm generous, when you're generous, people that we know, people that we don't know, people that we've met, people that we'll never meet, end up thanking God for His generosity. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing that takes place when we give. If we know that giving is good, and if we know that it's more blessed to give than to receive, why don't we give more often? Seriously, why don't we do it more often? Let me give you really quickly just three ideas that kind of keep us at bay with giving sometimes and kind of push back on the idea of generosity and in giving. One of those ideas that is there for us that kind of causes us to not give is just the fact that we're struggling. We're struggling. Some of you are like, you know, my heart's there. Man, you're talking about giving. I wish I could give more today, but I'm kind of struggling. I mean, I don't know if ends are going to meet, and I just don't know if it's all going to come through. I don't know if I'm enough to go around. And so we're struggling just because we don't feel like we have the ability. Nick mentioned last week, and I want to remind you, and very soon we're going to make all these plans very clear to you, that we want to give each and every one of you that need encouragement, direction, teaching, and help in finances, that we are going to offer what's called Financial Peace University. It's going to be a 9-week course that you can go through to help you get a budget and stay on a budget, how to pay off debt and stay out of debt, how to save for the future and work through all of those things so that you, we, God's people, can manage our resources for the glory of God and have more that we can give away for His glory. Maybe another reason for you that you're struggling with the idea of giving and generosity is you've seen it abused before. This whole idea of the message of giving. You know, maybe it was some slick back haired dude and he said, if you give 100, you'll get 1,000, right? And you tried it and it didn't work. You know, maybe you just have heard an abused idea of this whole thing called generosity. Maybe you've heard it presented in such a way that all you ever feel is guilty. The last thing I want to do today is to cause you to feel guilty. Instead, I want you to feel encouraged to do what God has called you to do and to be a part of this great thing called generosity. Maybe another idea that maybe keeps you from giving is just having the scarcity mindset. Some people live with this. It's the scarcity mindset. It's the idea that if I give something, I'll have less. It's a scarcity mindset. I want to remind you, we have an abundant God who has promised to provide for all of our needs. And so may God teach me, may God teach you to no longer have a scarcity mindset, but an abundant mindset, knowing that we serve Him who provides for the needs of His people many times through His people. We have to retrain our mind by living by faith in our great God, giving by faith, and it's more blessed to give than to receive. I want to present this idea to you, and then we're going to give you three big truths, okay? One, whenever you give, you will be blessed. That's what the scripture teaches. Whenever you give, you will be blessed. And whenever you give, you will be a blessing. I want you to write that down. I think it's going to be on the screen. Whenever you give, you will be blessed. Whenever you give, you will be a blessing. So let me say it with a clear voice. Giving is good. And in case you didn't hear me, giving is good. And to make sure that you heard me and you're tracking with me, say it with me. Giving is good. Say it again. Giving is good. It's good. So what we want to do now is look at three principles that I believe are fundamental to help us grow in our generosity. If giving is good, then I want to get better at it. If giving is good, I want to grow in generosity. The first one is the place that we start. Really, it's the foundation for the future and the growth of our giving. This first thing we're going to talk about is really for beginners who are followers of Jesus. And so if you're taking notes, you've got 1, 2, 3 in there. The first one is wrong. Somehow between Washington and Arkansas, it got messed up. And let me tell you where it got messed up. It got messed up right here. So, number one's not going to fit the blank, so just write it the way it is on the screen, okay? Number one, we learn to trust God with the tithe. We learn to trust God with the tithe. This is where we start. This is the beginning point. We're going to trust God with the tithe. Well, what is a tithe? The tithe means 1/10, 10%. It's a tenth of whatever we receive. Look at Leviticus chapter 27 and verse number 30. Leviticus chapter 27 and verse 30. Over in the Old Testament, Leviticus chapter 27, verse 30. It says, 1/10 of the produce of the land, whether grain from the fields or fruit from the trees, belongs to the who? Belongs to the? And must be set apart for him, to him, as holy. In other words, language we may understand a little bit better today. If I receive $100, it is my honor, it is my privilege, it is me placing my faith in action by giving God back $10 of that $100. That's me saying, God, you own it all, you're responsible for it all, you've chosen to make me responsible with this portion of money, and so as a result of me saying, I trust you, I'm going to give a tenth of it back to you. It all belongs to God. I return it to Him as an act of worship. Some of you are like, wait a minute. I don't know if I'm going to be, you know, ready to do this or not. And I didn't know that's what this whole thing following Jesus looked like. Well, let's keep looking and hang on for just a minute. Malachi chapter 3 and verse number 10. Malachi chapter 3 and verse number 10. It's the last book in the Old Testament. Malachi chapter 3 and verse number 10. It says, bring all the tithes that we just spoke of, bring all the tithes into the storehouse. The storehouse would be a picture of the local church for us today. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse so there will be enough food in my temple. If you do, says the Lord of heaven's armies, I will open the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great you won't have enough room to take it in. Pause there for just a moment. couple things being expressed here. He's saying, hey, I want you to bring the tithes into the storehouse. I want you to show that you trust me. I want you to put some faith in your worship. And one way we do that is through our giving. It's through our tithing. It's a starting place for us to say, God, I trust you with what you have given to me. It talks about having enough food in the temple. Do you know what's happening here today? Do you know what happened last week when you came to church? You're being nourished spiritually. You're being given spiritual food. Your children right now are being given spiritual food. You're saying, you know what, God, you're taking care of me spiritually. You're pouring into my life. And so I want to make sure that this continues. I want to make sure that more people just like me continue to be fed the wonderful word of the gospel. I want people to know about Jesus. I want them to know the principles to live by according to God's word. And then he says there in the scripture, I will open the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great you won't have enough room to take it in. He doesn't say the blessing is going to look like this or the blessing is going to look like that. He just says there's going to be a blessing. I don't know how God's going to bless you. That's not for me to decide. I'm not even going to make any kind of conjectures or any kind of predictions on that. I just know that God takes care of his people. I've seen him do it over and over and over again in my life and in the lives of others when we're willing to trust him and to give and to worship him in this way. And then the scripture goes on to say there, try it, put me to the test. This is like the one place in all of Scripture where God says it's okay for you to test me. It's okay for you to say, let me give this a try and see if it works. God, I'm going to watch you and see if you come through or not. God says, I'm putting my name on the line with this deal. God says, I'm putting my character on the line with this. I am God, and I am faithful, and I'm putting all that on the line with this whole idea of giving. Try me and see if I'm not faithful. Try me and see if I'm not God. It's almost as if God understands how hard this idea of giving was going to be for most of us. It's almost as if God knew we were going to say, whoa, slow this right down and let me off. I don't know about giving. I don't know about giving a little bit. I sure enough don't know about giving a tenth. Oh, wait just a minute. It's almost like God knew that was coming. And he said, you know, I know how you're wired. I know how you're made up. But I'm asking you to do something hard. I'm asking you to trust me. So try it and see if I'm not faithful. Try it and see if I am not the God who provides. 10%? God, are you serious? In order to do that, you know what a lot of us would have to do? We would have to totally and completely 100% rearrange our lives around God and his plan for us. It's almost as if that's what God is saying. Oh, wait a minute. It's exactly what God is saying. You know what God's challenging me to do? And what God's challenging you to do? He's challenging us to rearrange our lives, including our finances, completely around him. Now, is that challenging? Absolutely, it's challenging. It's the reason why God said, try it. See if I'm faithful. Try it. Put me to the test. Well, we need to rearrange some things. We need to put God first with the tithe. Together, we're going to seek God first. We're going to worship him. We're going to trust him with the tithe. Again, are some of us going to have to rearrange our life? Yes. And it's going to take great faith. It's going to take great faith. But God is moving me and moving you in every step of our lives toward faith. It's my responsibility as your pastor to move you toward faith. Some of you need to take a giant leap of faith in your following of Jesus and engage in this whole beautiful thing called generosity and to watch yourself rely upon God like you never have before, to trust in him and in him alone, to worship him and him alone. This is an opportunity for you to see how incredibly faithful your God is. I don't know how God's going to show himself to be faithful to you. But I do know this, he will. He will prove himself faithful in some way, and you will see the goodness of God. So today, let's choose to worship and trust God with our first and with our best, and trust Him to bless the rest. Today, will you take this challenge to say, today I'm going to trust God by giving Him my first and my best, and I'm going to trust Him with the rest. I'm going to trust God with my first and with my best, and I'm going to trust Him with the rest. Will you join me in taking that challenge today? The second thing we're going to do is we're going to plan our generosity. Now, I think this one matches up with your notes. I think my fingers worked properly this time. We're going to plan our generosity. I don't know about you, but I plan to acquire things. Anybody else? You ever saved up money to get something? That's called planning to acquire. You ever saved up money to buy a house? Sure. You ever saved up money to buy a car? Sure. You ever saved up money to buy a purse? Some of you. You ever saved up money to buy a pair of shoes? Huh? We plan to acquire, we plan to get, and that's good to plan, but what if you and I planned and schemed and worked just as hard to figure out how we're going to give as we do in how we're going to get? What would happen in our world? What would happen in this church? What would happen in our homes if we started planning? This is how we can give more. This is how we can give more. What if we planned on how to be more generous? What if we got together and we strategized on how we could figure out to give more for the honor of glory? Since it's more blessed to give than receive, how can we be a blessing to more people through our giving? Look at Isaiah 32. Isaiah 32. Verse number 8. Isaiah 32 and verse number 8. But generous people plan to do what is what? Come on, church, wake up this morning. It's on the screen. Generous people plan to do what is? Thank you. And they stand firm in their generosity. That doesn't mean they're audacious in where they stand in their generosity. It just means this is who I am and this is what I'm going to do. And also, I'm stable here because you know what? Since I'm generous, I'm showing continually that I trust in God as my source. I'm trusting in God as my provider. Generous people plan to do what is generous. Giving is not something we do. Generous is who we are as followers of Jesus. And oh, how we need to plan to be generous. What if you and I started planning our generosity? I read of one story. It's kind of a neat idea. It's kind of small. It's probably doable for most of us. A young married couple not too long after being married, following Jesus, decided to start planning some generosity. They were giving to their church and giving to God, and they decided to take it a step further. And it's kind of a big deal for them at the time, but they decided to take $20 each once a month, set it aside for them to give to anybody, anywhere, at any time that they saw a need. Just $20. And they could be watching and seeing people. Sometimes it was people they knew. Sometimes it was people they didn't know. But they journaled this, and their journal of giving, just $20 a month apiece to someone in need, was just mind-blowing to watch the faithfulness and the goodness and the blessings of God in their life. What if we started planning generosity? So we're going to start with the tithe, and then we're going to plan our generosity. And the third thing, we're going to start being generous now. Now, today, this day, we are going to recognize the goodness. We are going to recognize the provision. We are going to recognize the faithfulness of God in our lives. And we're going to say, right now, I am going to start being generous. Generous things are not what we do. Generous is who we are. I'm a follower of Jesus, and I want to look more like Jesus. And so I'm going to be generous. I'm going to be generous. Wait a minute. Some of you are thinking, I thought you said we're going to work on getting out of debt. We are, and that's where some of you are right now. You're stuck in it. You need to get out of it. But listen, on our way to doing that, we are going to start giving and being generous now. This is the supernatural factor that you cannot leave out in your life. If you want to get where God wants you to get financially, you're going to have to follow God's plan now. And part of God's plan for my life, part of God's plan for your life is for us to be generous. And the moment we start being obedient and we start living by faith and we start doing that by showing forth generosity, there is a supernatural effect on our lives, our provision, our resources that you cannot explain. God is our provider. I was in seminary and I was single at the time and making just a little bit of money, working hard and trying to pay my way through seminary and provide for a place to live and to eat and all those kind of things. And I had made a giving commitment to God. Nobody else knew about it. I had been taught by my mom and dad how to tithe, and so I did that from a young age, and I'm very thankful they instilled that in me from an early age and taught me faith. And so in seminary, I had made a certain financial commitment of giving to God above my tithe. And it was a pretty healthy commitment, especially relatively speaking to my provisions. And so anyway, I made the commitment. It was such a commitment. My dad, because I was still quite young at the time, my dad was still alongside me in life and making sure that financially I was on a good path. And he would always help me with my budget. And my dad, a pastor, you met him, right? My dad actually said, hey, what's this? My budget. I said, well, it's some giving that I plan to do. And here's what my dad said. My dad said, well, you might want to rethink that because it doesn't fit in your budget. My dad's a pastor. And here's what I told my dad. I said, Dad, I really can't explain it, but I believe it's what I'm supposed to do. And so I'm going to leave it there and trust that God's going to provide. So I left it there. No joke, the first month that I carried out what I had planned to do, I gave it and really didn't know where else I was going to come up short as a result of it. I get a letter in the mail like 2 weeks later. A letter in the mail, postmarked Louisiana. I've never lived in Louisiana. I've got very few friends in Louisiana. I had told no one except for my dad about this giving commitment I had made to God. And I get a letter in the mail with the exact amount of money that I had given to God and a little note that was not signed, only had one word on it, and it was Jehovah Jireh. Lucky I was in seminary so that I could know what that means. It means God is our provider. I can't explain that. I didn't go out and buy a new car with it. It just shored up the need that I had. Our God is faithful. Don't wait till you've got a lot to give a lot. If you wait to give a lot until you got a lot, you'll never give. Now is the time. Now is the time. A great example that we see about this in Scripture is Philippians chapter 1 and verse number 6. Philippians chapter 1 and verse number 6. Excuse me, Philemon. That one's off in my head for somebody. It's Philemon. Had it wrong on my notes, had it wrong up there, but I think it's all right now. Yep, Philemon. Philemon 1, verse number 6. It says, I'm praying that you will put into action, the generosity that comes from your money. Anybody else reading the scripture right now, or y'all wondering what I'm doing right here? Did it say the generosity that comes from your money? Four people, come on. Black and white. I pray that your partnership with us in the faith. Somebody's supposed to say it's the wrong scripture, or it doesn't say that, or something. Squint. And I am praying. I don't know what. All right, you got to hand it to me. Sometimes y'all look at me like I'm crazy when I'm not crazy. That was one of those moments that I was crazy and you were looking at me crazy, but I thought it was one of those moments where I wasn't crazy, but you were looking at me like I was crazy. So only look at me like I'm crazy when I'm crazy, all right? Whew. All right. Right here. I don't know. And I'm praying that you will put into action, you had to open your Bibles, didn't you? The generosity that comes from your faith. It doesn't say your money, it says your faith. God says if you have faith, you have generosity. Whoa, wait a minute. Do you believe in Jesus? Yes, I do. Are you generous? When I have enough money. Scripture teaches that my generosity, your generosity, is a result of your faith. If we say that we believe, then God says you have generosity. I'm praying that you will put into action the generosity that comes from your faith as you understand and experience all the good things we have in Christ. How many good things do you have in Christ? Count your many blessings, name them one by one, right? Have you ever tried to like count them all up? I mean, just take the rest of the day. What you realize is you're not going to have enough days left, right? Let's just start with the gospel. Let's start with Jesus taking our place on the cross. Let's talk about Him paying for our sin debt, suffering, bleeding, and dying for our sin and for our iniquity. When I think about all the good things that I have in Christ and I've placed my faith in Him, the Word of God says I'm supposed to put into action what is the result of my faith, and one of the results and one of the outflowings of my faith is generosity. So we're going to start having faith now. The only reasonable response that you and I have to the one who gave His Son for us is to give our lives back to Him. We talked about the tithe earlier. God doesn't just own 10%. He owns everything we have. And we want to use it. We ought to use it as a blessing. Have you ever had generosity stare you in the face? I have. So quite a few years ago, I got to go on a trip to Thailand and to Burma and spent some time on the border of Thailand and Burma. Some of that time was spent on the Thailand side, and much of that border is filled with Burmese refugees. And I was with a missionary that was spreading the gospel among these people, and we got to go, and they just thought it was a big deal that we would come to their village. And so there was one lady who they had met, and she was a believer, and we went to her house, her hut, and it was kind of raised up. They kind of lived on a river valley, and so it was built up on stilts and kind of rickety and that whole deal. And so we went in, and she got word to us through our translator that she wanted to feed us, and we said, great. And I don't know if you've ever eaten what somebody has fed you in the middle of nowhere, but it's always interesting. And we had prayed that God would give us the stomachs to bear whatever may come our way. And so she made this soup, and in this soup, there was meat, and that was a very, very big deal because they didn't cook meat very often. They normally kept their meat for other purposes. For instance, you know, their chickens to lay eggs or their cows to give them milk or whatever. But when someone would come that they thought was a blessing to them, they wanted to be a blessing, and so they would cook meat for people that were this way. And so they cooked meat for us. And in this soup, there was chicken. And there wasn't just part of the chicken, there was all of the chicken. There were 2 feet floating in the soup. And when I say that generosity was staring me in the face, there were 2 eyes. Bok, bok. That were staring me in the face. And you know what I was looking at? Generosity. This lady just gave us what was precious to her, what was dear to her. And she said, you know what? I'm not going to wait till I have a lot. I'm going to give what? I'm going to give now. You know what produced that generosity in her? Her faith. Her faith. Don't wait to be generous. Be generous now. I don't mind telling you that I want to lead our church both individually and collectively to be generous. I want more and more stories like Haven, don't you? Huh? last Sunday. So much happened this last week, we can't even tell you what all happened, because you got to remember, God's doing so much more in his kingdom than just right here, and a lot's going on right here. But a bunch of folks from our church went to Cleveland. You know why they went to Cleveland? To celebrate a church plant. Todd Calloway, Life Point Church, rocking and rolling, doing well, celebrating with them. You know what that's the result of? That's the result of the generosity of this church. I want more stories like that. And oh, how I want to see you individually just be generous. How I want to see us collectively just be generous with what he has blessed us with. How are we going to do it? We're going to trust God with our first and our best and believe that he will bless the rest. Again, whenever you give, you will be blessed. Whenever you give, you will be a blessing. Giving is good. Giving is good. Giving is good. Say it with me. Giving is good. Giving is good. Giving is good. One more time. Giving is good. Y'all went all the way. I like it. May we always believe the words of Jesus when he said it's more blessed to give than to receive. I wonder how many of you here today would say, you know what, man, I want to be generous. I really do. I want to step up my game. I want my faith to be seen through my generosity, not so people will thank me, but so that people will thank the Lord, right? That's our motive. But maybe some of you that are saying that, you're like, you know what, man, I'm struggling. Maybe the whole idea of giving now kind of freaks you out just a little bit. Maybe you have seen this whole idea and this whole message abused before, and you've seen people use God's name to get what they want and do whatever they want to with it, and you're struggling with that right now, and you're like, God, can I not just trust you, but can I trust this whole idea? Maybe you got that scarcity mindset. Maybe you're thinking, man, if I give, I'll have less. Ugh. But in the end, I hope all of us can say, somehow by faith, I want to be more generous. By faith, I want to give now. By faith, I want to start tithing for the first time. By faith, I want to give so others can be blessed. By faith, I want to make a plan as to how I can be more generous. I want to grow in generosity. I don't do this very often because it makes people feel awkward, but every now and then I like for people to feel awkward. And it seems fair today, since I felt really awkward earlier when that scripture that I thought was going to be on the screen wasn't on the screen and I couldn't figure out why you weren't tracking. So that was my awkward moment. So let me toss one back at you, hopefully not to make you feel awkward, but just so you can just kind of just take another step here. How many of you, by lifting your hand, I don't know where you are in this whole idea of generosity, if it's brand new to you, or you're like, whoa, or you're like, yes, I'm in, I've been in, and I want to be in more. But how many of you would just simply, by raising your hand, say, yes, I want to grow in generosity? How many of you would lift your hand and say, yes, I want to grow in generosity? Amen. Amen. I'm going to pray for you in just a moment, that God will help you to grow in your generosity. One more thing and we'll be done. What's God known for? A lot of things, right? One thing he's definitely known for is his giving and his forgiving. John chapter 3, verse 16, you know it, right? You know what? It's going to come on the screen, I think. It wasn't their fault, by the way. Look, for God loved the world so much that he what? Gave, yeah, his one and only son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. This is our God. He's a giver. He's not a taker. He doesn't want what you have. He gave you everything you have. Guess what he wants? You. He wants to make a trade that makes absolutely no sense. God says, I want to take your sin, put it upon my son. Let him die for it. Let him rise up from the grave so that you can be freed from it, so that you can experience real life with me. That's the giving and the forgiving God that we have. And maybe for you, you're like, yeah, that's me. Like, I, I'm, I'm that person that has sinned. I'm that person that has fallen short of God's glory. I'm that one that really needs what God's giving here. I need that forgiveness. It's free. It's available. Church, isn't that what we want for everybody, for people to experience the gift and the forgiving that we've experienced? Amen, church? This is the gospel. This is the death of Jesus. This is the resurrection of Jesus. It gives life and hope to all. And so today, if you're sitting there thinking, generosity, I don't know, faith, I don't know, this is the beginning place for you. It's faith in Jesus and in Jesus alone. And let me tell you what that will do. It will change your life. Jesus will cleanse you of your sin. He will make you right with God. What we're offering you today is not religion. What we're offering you today is salvation that only comes through Jesus. And we invite you to Jesus today. I'm going to pray, and I'm going to pray for all those that raise their hand saying, yes, I want to be more generous. And I'm going to pray for those that need Christ. And we're going to sing a song, and you can respond to Jesus this morning.